You think you know me?
On this day, I see clearly everything is come to life.
Welcome into the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. Overtime coming at you for the next 2 hours right here on Fan Run Radio. Jake Miller, Davis Rangy, Matthew Catlin, Bryson Taylor. Tennessee advances to the Sweet 16 after surviving a scare against Louisiana and then coming out and absolutely dominating both ends of the floor against Duke, with the exception of the first 5 minutes of the game. After that, Olivier Kumwa in the second half, dominating performance. That's something that we have wanted to see all year. It's not that we've wanted this team to lose. We just wanted to see this all year because we know they're capable of doing it. Why haven't we seen this all year? So now I look like an idiot, for now, after watching us get out of the first weekend. I mean, it is what it is.
I mean, I'll sit here and eat crow, as they call it. Now, I was wrong. I did not think we would beat Duke, but they pleasantly surprised me. But when we got in that 19-13 hole in the first half, I think Filipowski bodied whoever it was down low. I thought we were, I don't know, I was like, here we go. It's going to be another thing. But they did something they haven't done all year. They're resilient. They came back from that. I think they ended the half on, what was it, like a seven? It had to be. I don't have the exact stat. But you end up going in the halftime, my bad, 19-13. So it was a 14-2 run. You ended the half on a 14-2 run from that moment on. And that really flipped the script. That was the first time all year we've had. That was the first time they've been tough. They've been the aggressor, except for the Alabama game. But there, it has not been consistent like that all year.
Well, and that was something from the start of the game on. I mean,
yeah.
Urosh getting into foul trouble early. But, hey, if you're going to throw an elbow and bloody somebody's eye, go right ahead.
I was mad at first. I tweeted. I was like, I can't wait for Urosh to be off this campus. But then I rethought it and deleted it because I thought about it. I was like, you know, Urosh really – that is his job, is to be the enforcer. He's not going to bring any skill to this team. You're not relying on him to get you 15 and 10 a night or anything close to that. So if you're going to do something, make it worthwhile. And that definitely got in Filipowski's head. You could tell from the jump, getting an elbow like that, and then Adu, quote-unquote, accidentally hitting him on the eye, whether it was accidental or not. Good play. Going for the rebound.
Yep.
You know.
And then Uros's other one, when he absolutely just bodied him in the paint.
Yeah, he knew what he was doing.
Oh, I mean, if anybody said that he was going for a box out, hey, man, just stop lying to yourself, man. It's called being an enforcer. It's called setting the tone. Urosh did a great job of that, and it led to a great, I would say, a great second half performance, and then the end of the first half when, who missed a free throw on that play on the, when we up 25-21? Viscovi got the rebound, brought it back out.
I think it was Mayshak.
Mayshak maybe missed it, and then Viscovi brought it out, dumped it down to Adu, and we went up six. I think that was the real swing point of the game.
Yeah, I'm impressed. Granted, we were supposed to do it. We had minus odds to make it to the Sweet 16, but not going to take away because I will also eat crow. I was extremely wrong about where we were going to be in our bracket. But I think it's just a testament after the Duke game. Just kind of shows how strong the SEC really is and how physical of a conference we really have.
Well, and something that we've been saying, too, all year is the fact that ACC is not the ACC that we have grown up knowing.
Right.
And
no,
this, this Duke team, we all know this, that the Duke team that we saw is not the Duke team of old. It's not the Duke teams like when you had John Shire and guys like that.
And
Zubac was another one on that team.
And Virginia, the team they beat to get the ACC championship, they went outside once again in the tournament.
Yep, Eli Clark just throws the ball up. Key High
Clark, you're losing to Furman, one of the dumbest plays I've ever seen out of anyone.
That
but
was bad.
Another point I wanted to make was I could tell the game was a little different for us when I saw Viscovi throw a lob in transition to Julian Phillips. I don't think I've ever seen that this year hardly. We hardly ever score in transition on fast break, and to see that play, that lob was so slow. I was like, what is he doing? And then all of a sudden I saw Julian Phillips come flying, and I was like, okay.
I thought he was taking a shot, and I was like, what are we doing here?
And before we get to the phones, I do want to point out Doug Gottlieb.
What a pansy.
What in the world?
What a loser that guy is.
I mean, goodness. I mean, he wanted to talk about how dirty Tennessee was playing, but he had no problem with Grayson Allen playing the way that he did back when he was going through his whole spiel at Duke, when he was literally kicking players, tripping, throwing his body out there, doing anything he could to enforce that. And, you know, I don't know what to say.
I couldn't find his connection. What is it so obsessed with Duke?
There. Or he went to, he didn't play there. He went there.
He went to Duke. Okay.
Or wrote for them at least. Because I read his it was in his Twitter bio.
Jay Billis played at Duke.
Yeah, Jay Billis played there. Yeah.
Jay Bias.
Jay Bias has made a clown of himself the past few days.
Oh, he's been awful.
Well, that's just the way she goes. Pat 40, you're in that category too. Let's go to the Big Orange Phillies phone lines. Phil is first. What do you say, Philly?
Jake the Snake.
Philly.
What's going on?
Not a lot, man. I appreciate you coming in last week and helping us out. That helped me out a lot, and I really do appreciate it. That was a fun time.
We had fun last week. I ripped them. They deserved to be ripped, and then they performed. I mean, that's the new society now.
That's just the way she goes, ain't it, Phil?
Yeah. You pay somebody all that money, $6 million a year, you got to get better than just one and done in the tournament.
Let me ask you this, Phil. What do you think it's going to take to silence people like me, to silence people like you? I think it has to be a Final Four because you got a clear-cut path. I mean, Moses could not have parted the Red Sea any wider for us to walk right to it, because you're going to win on Thursday. You should, at least. And then on Saturday, you're probably going to end up playing Michigan State because – It's just going to be Michigan State.
Or Kansas State.
I mean, you know what they say, Michigan State. January, February, Izzo. So.
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe we can exercise the demons of Izzo from the last time we played them in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, we don't need to have that again, and I don't want to be in a situation like that again. Now, granted, when we started that game against them in 2010 in the Elite Eight, I mean, it seemed like every shot we threw up was a three, and it seemed like every shot that we threw up was going down. That's what I remember most about that game. And then, of course, there at the end, Scottie Hobson not hitting his free throws. That's another thing that would worry me. I don't want to be in a free throw shooting battle late in the game. Now, on Thursday, with our defense, and granted, you know, people look at FAU and it's like, oh, well, they're a 9 seed, or, you know, they play in the, what is it, the Sun Belt, or not the Sun Belt, the
Conference USA.
Yeah, USA.
They want to look at that. But you look at the adjusted offense, you look at the adjusted defense, I think they're about 30th in both categories. So, I don't know what to make. You know, I think Tennessee is probably a 5.5-point favorite going into this game, but I do like our chances on Thursday.
I'll put it this way. I'd rather play Florida Atlantic than play Memphis. I think Memphis would probably beat Tennessee in the game right now.
That's a scary matchup.
They're back just the same old Memphis, Phil. I mean, they crumbled down the stretch, undisciplined, fighting each other, trying to play your star player because he overrides your head coach and goes back in the game injured. I mean, I agree Memphis would be tough, but they're just very undisciplined. They always will be with Penny.
Can we talk about how puny that water bottle throw was at the end of the game by Penny?
Bad.
I mean, who throws with their foot forward in the hand that's on that same side of their body? Quarterbacks, we see them throw the ball all the time. You know how you're supposed to throw something. This dude threw it like a 10-year-old girl.
Well, that's enough on Memphis. So let's talk a little bit about your buddies at 3 o'clock.
Not my buddies.
Well, they recorded something I said last Friday on the show, and then I heard the end of their show, and they had some of your show putting me on there again. Now, what have they done? Did you get permission to put me on their show again?
I did not, Phil. I mean, this goes back to the conversation we had with T-Carp on Thursday. You know, he said it's pretty sad when the 3 o'clock show has to call your show to get airtime, and now they got to bring this show to their show because they can't produce the quality that we produce here on Overtime.
Well, I mean, they just took three of the best callers on your show and put them and played, snippets of us all on their show, so it shows you they're worried.
They might be a little worried. They might be.
I wonder if Barry Brown will call in here in a minute again.
I'm sure he's going to call me during the break and cuss me out like he did last week.
Well, we know where the phone calls are, though. It's right here.
And it's
phone calls from 6 to 8, right?
That's what it's going to be.
All right, guys. I love you guys. Hang in there. Keep the truth, and whatever you do, Rip Rick Barnes until we win a national championship. See you.
Nice. Y'all be on a prediction of what KenPom prediction of this Thursday night's matchup?
Please.
68-64 Tennessee.
Interesting.
And a potential Elite Eight matchup with Michigan State. Tennessee 65, Michigan State 60.
What's the line? 4.5?
I think it's 4.5, yes.
Yeah. Okay, yeah.
So they'd be covering, obviously.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
You all missed the, and we're going to get to the phones here in just a second, but you all missed the 20-leg parlay that I put together for the first round that would have paid out $312,000.
How many did you hit?
Probably 18.
I hit 18. You know which ones I missed?
Purdue.
I picked Arizona.
And Purdue.
And I picked Purdue.
That's nice. Tough.
I was ready to strangle something or somebody.
No, it just never ends.
Yeah, it just never ends. 18 out of 20.
One thing is, like, I got all the other upsets.
It's unbelievable.
Oh, man.
Can you cash out at some point in the parlays, right?
I should have. We're not going to talk about it. But that's it.
My question is, when the Arizona game was starting and it was going downhill, could you cash out then, or you, like, once the game started, you're locked in?
If the sports book sees that they're, like, going to get your money, they'll offer you less than what you put in.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you can cash out with less. But
so I put in $1, so they might have offered me like 25 cents.
That's tough.
That's just the way she goes. Let's get Fake Bob in here next. What do you say, Fake Bob?
What's up, fellas? How are you?
Doing all right, man.
Man, I was actually really surprised Saturday with how well we played against Duke.
Other than the Alabama game, that was the best basketball that we've played all year.
Yep. And, I mean, y'all know my feelings on Olivier. I've been on his case all year long. And so for him just to come out, especially in that second half when he scored the 13 straight points, when he just refused to go home, like, that really, like, made me happy, obviously, but it also frustrated me again because it's like, you could literally do this every game, man.
Did y'all catch the clip of Julian Phillips smiling as he went up to catch that alley-oop?
I did.
That was beautiful. That was awesome. And it really set the tempo for the rest of the game. It's like, okay, this is our game. You're not getting it back. Fake Bob just dropped.
Oh.
What's crazy about Olivier, though, is he still had every opportunity in the world to do a layup, and he'd still shoot a fadeaway. Not hating, because he won us the game, but I'm just saying.
Mm-hmm.
He refuses to go to the rim.
And if you look, I think we're going to go to the Final Four, because if you look at how it matches up, Vescovi had a great game Saturday, so he will have a mid to bad game Thursday night. But I think you can survive that, because it's FAU. It's not Purdue, it's not Memphis, not any of the threatening opponents like that. But if he comes out, you're going to need a good performance against Michigan State or Kansas State, whoever your opponent is in the Elite Eight. And I think Olivier is not going to get you anywhere near 27 points, but you just got to beg and pray for maybe a 12, 15 points average these next two games.
Mm-hmm.
That's all we're asking.
Who would you rather play?
Kansas State.
I would, too. I can't lie to
you. I want Michigan State.
I mean,
we've already played them once this year.
I would rather play Jerome Tang.
Yeah.
How corny are those videos? Does anybody else think they're corny, or do y'all like them?
Which
the ones where
little baby?
The little baby.
Yeah, I saw that.
I kind of like
them. I think they're so corny.
I don't know. I didn't really listen to it. I just saw that it was playing, and the coach is just sitting there smiling.
Clapping along.
Something else. I mean, we need to protect Kevin Harlan at all costs. That guy is the best in-game announcer that ever going to find anywhere.
Oh, yeah.
Some of these announcers are putrid that I was listening to. Like the late night games on like True TV.
That guy that cussed on True TV last night.
What?
Yeah,
did you hear that?
Yeah.
What'd he drop?
S-bomb, right?
S-bomb, yeah.
Oh!
He dropped. No, it was the player. And he was getting interviewed after the game, and then before the game, goes, oh, it's all good. We're on True TV.
Doesn't matter anyway.
Doesn't matter.
Impractical Jokers and FAU and FDU.
That's all you get on that channel.
Yep.
Let's get Larry in Georgia in here before we hit break. What do you say, Larry?
Fellas!
Larry!
Long time no talk, gents. My brother's from another mother.
What's up, man?
Another day in paradise or something of that effect. just chilling down here in the cesspool known as Georgia, watching our teams do what they do, hoping our women will take that next step as well and get on to the Sweet 16.
Got that game on behind us right now. The Lady Vols taking on Toledo. See if they can advance to the Sweet 16.
I'm turning and burning trying to get to the house from work now so I can watch at least part of it. Of course, my kid is in the pep band for the Lady Vols, so he's hoping they win. A, because they win, but B, they will travel with the team to Seattle, so he's excited.
That'd actually be pretty cool because they're probably going to play that where the Supersonics used to play, where the Seattle Storm play now.
Yeah, I haven't seen where it is, but yeah, I'm sure that it'll be a fun time for him. So I'm hoping for them. Very impressed that second half against Duke. Man, we sat there in a little restaurant bar actually in Athens of all places, and they had it on. So we sat there, we were eating lunch, and we were watching it. And man, I tell you what, but they were impressive. They were very, very impressive. But they are going to have to play that physical again against FAU. FAU, I watched that game against Fairleigh Dickinson last night. That team is freaking fast, man. Yeah. And they got some jackrabbits out there, and they did not slow down that entire game.
They're great with their offense. I mean, there's a reason their adjusted offense is what it is. I mean, they're a top 25 KenPom team. And there's only two teams outside of the KenPom top 25 that are still left, Miami and Princeton. And I don't think anybody expects Miami or Princeton to do anything.
No.
Now, a buddy of mine at work expects Miami to do it because he's a fan of theirs. But he's also he's hopeful. Let me rephrase that. He's hopeful. He's not necessarily expecting it, but he's hoping.
Right.
So I'm like I said, I was impressed. They're going to have to play that physical style, I think, to wear them down and just put the clamps on them on defense. I don't think they'll have to do a ton of scoring, but if they can play physical against them in the first half and wear down those guys and slow them down, then we should have absolutely zero problems with them. But again, this is a Rick Barnes coach team, so your guess is as good as anyone's. I mean, you know, also to Jay Billis, Jay, sit down and shut the hell up. We are so sick of hearing your accolades to that stupid Duke team. When you said, did he play with? Was he still playing when the other idiot, the Tripper, was there, or was that? No, Jay Billis was before that.
Oh no, Jay Billis is ancient, man.
Yeah,
he's back when Christian Leighton was playing.
But you're gonna sit there and pimp that team out and say how great they were when you got him kicking people in the gonads, tripping them, kneeing them, and doing all this crap. And then sit there and call us when we play physical and say that we were playing dirty. Come on, man. The coach didn't say anything about it in the post game. The players didn't say anything about it. So sit down and shut up. Same thing goes to that other moron, Gottlieb. Does anyone even listen to him anymore? He's ancient. Like, he's worse than my 3-day-old freaking lunch. Come on. Sit down and shut up. We don't care.
Well, I mean, the credit card story gets brought up pretty frequently when he has a bad take.
He's just an idiot, and has been for a long, long time. He hasn't said anything relevant since I think Christ was a little baby. Anyway,
oh,
I'm just saying. Come on.
Nice.
Anyway, listen. You guys know me. I'm a huge fan. I'm still on the fence with Barnes. I am not getting 100% behind him. I'm not buying in. I'm just not, because last time I did that, well, the last probably four or five times I did that, the freaking rug and everything else was, like, swiped out from under me, and down on my gigantic rear end I went. So we are not going to hear that thud over this weekend. It's not going to happen. I'm just gonna sit back, watch the games, and hope that we play well. Hope that we can see Olivier doing what he did this past weekend again. That was fantastic to see for a change. Anyway, y'all, keep doing what you do. Put that 3 o'clock show in the rear view like always, because that's where they belong. And you know what? Go big freaking orange. See you, fellas.
Appreciate the phone call, Larry. Larry, tiptoeing the line about as much as you can tiptoe it. I love it.
Yeah. Bringing the heat.
Yep.
Is he wrong, though?
No, he's not wrong.
Barnes going to get more backlash if he loses this Thursday night than if he just lost to Duke, obviously.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he did the big thing. We weren't expecting him to beat Duke. first time ever, I think, and that he's been at Tennessee, that he's won as an underdog in March. Sounds right.
I think this probably goes back to Texas, honestly. But I want to point out something else, too. You know, we look at this basketball team, and does it almost mimic the football team? They've got a clear-cut path to the college football playoff. All you have to do is beat South Carolina.
Thanks for the PTSD. Yeah.
Thanks,
appreciate
man.
It.
Thanks, man.
Love seeing Spencer Rattler go insane in my dreams.
And right now, we have a clear-cut path to the Final Four.
I wouldn't say clear-cut.
It's Michigan State.
It is clear-cut.
It's Michigan State, your South Carolina. I don't think FAU is. I think FAU is like the Missouri the week before.
Yeah.
Where it's a close game,
then you just blow them out in the end or pull away.
And it's funny because before the South Carolina game, and you all know how much of a football sheep that I am. Everybody knows that. Going into that South Carolina game, I said, you know, weird stuff just happens when we go down there, especially when it's a night game.
Yeah, that's what he said. He said that in the summer.
Night game we're losing.
Okay, wait, time out. Do we play with those Spalding balls in the garden?
No.
Spalding balls are no longer.
I'm just making sure.
Wilson Evos.
I'm just making sure, because I remember last time we played.
It needs to be the Wilson solution. Yeah. That's what it needs to be.
Solution? I see a solution ball.
Nah, man, those
or the evolution.
Those Spalding balls look like they're like used outside, man. It looks like
Evo balls are decent.
Yeah, just get the original evolution.
I'm not worried.
Best about, basketball ever.
Yes.
I'm not worried about it. I don't think the shooting will be a problem. I say that, but I think we'll be fine Thursday night shooting the ball.
As long as they're not using an Adidas ball.
But, guys, we have a clear-cut path to the Final Four. Weird stuff happens when Michigan State is in the NCAA tournament. That's all I'm going to say.
And they were not good this year.
No.
Bad year for Izzo.
South Carolina wasn't good.
Exactly.
Yep.
They're decent. They're not good. They're not terrible either.
Parity in college basketball. Wow. Stay with us. Overtime continues. More Fan Run Radio on the way. Back here on Overtime, Fan Run Radio. And everyone, I'm seeing tweets from even a former host here at Fan Run tweeting at me. I talked to John Reed a little bit on Saturday, and he's like, I bet you feel dumb right now. I'm like, well, when was I wrong about this team all year? He's like, you're wrong right now. I said, okay, all right, fair game. You can drag me through the mud. But I think it should be noted as to why I made this turn, you know, I guess last year after the Michigan game. Because if you go back, you listen to the clips all through last year when I started on the drive and everything. I was really positive about the basketball team because, I mean, with Kennedy Chandler, I felt like we should have made a deep run in March. And we didn't. All my confidence went out the window against Michigan last year because that was a team that we were better than.
Mm-hmm.
We should have been in the Sweet 16. We should not have lost that game. That's why I've been so down on this program. Is because it just felt like, you know, if we couldn't do it with Kennedy Chandler, probably one of the better point guards this program has seen, then there's no way that we can do it. That's the mindset that I've had.
Yeah, and it just blows my mind. I was thinking about it yesterday driving back up here. This team is going to be, at the very least, tied with the Grant and Admiral year, 2019. Like, have you thought about that? Like, the way we viewed those teams and this team has been a complete 180, and now they're tied for the same amount of postseason success.
But then we look at the statistics that I brought up against the 2014 team, the Konzo team. Now, granted, the Konzo team probably should not have been there.
No, it shouldn't have.
They should not have been there. But the statistics are so similar there. But then when you look at the stats from all these other teams, they're nowhere near as good as what they could be. Nobody's is. It's the most open college basketball season that we have ever seen. Even in, what was the year that it was Kentucky, like an 8 seed?
2014.
Yeah, 14 against UConn. UConn was an 8 seed and Kentucky was a 7 seed.
Wisconsin beat them in the Final Four. That was 2014.
Yeah.
And they were undefeated, 38-0.
That was 2015. Yeah, that was 2015 when they were undefeated, lost to Wisconsin in the Final Four. Now, I don't know what to really make. I don't know if NIL is a part of this and the transfer portal, but it seems like it has brought more parity to college basketball. It is more wide open. There's not one or two clear-cut teams, and you're actually having to pay attention to what's going on in the entire college basketball landscape, kind of what you're going to have to start doing in football. You're going to have to pay attention to the entire landscape of what's going on because there's not one clear-cut team anymore.
The solution is there in basketball. You saw it with Baylor. You saw it with UNC last year. You've got to have a couple high fours, maybe five stars that stay there a few years. Go look at UNC last year. You had Baycott, who was the number one center coming out of high school. That was his third year there. You got Leaky Black. You got RJ Davis, Caleb Love. And you even go look at Baylor. I mean, you have a mix, one or two perennial five-star All-American freshmen mixed in with some 3 to 4 year guys that are solid, know your program. It's all about guard play, man. 100% about guard play in March. Go look at Purdue. They have the best big man in the country, and they got bounced out by a team that has a gym that holds 100 people. Have y'all seen that picture?
The shortest team in D1 basketball by average height. The average height's like 5, like what was it?
Like 6'4", I think.
Yeah, it was like 6'3 or something. And the smallest team in D1 basketball.
I mean, that's a bigger upset than UMBC over Virginia.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, you got to
think,
they shouldn't have even been there. They were in the NCAA tournament because of a technicality.
With Merrimack. Right?
Merrimack could not play in the NCAA tournament because they haven't been in D1 college basketball for, what is it, 4 years?
Yeah, this was their fourth year, so they have to wait till next year.
Right. Do you think Merrimack beats Purdue? Probably not.
Mm-mm.
No, this was, and I mean, you got to think, they were essentially a 17 seed when you really want to think about it. Because they had to play in the play-in game in order to play them. Now you've got Purdue fans that are saying, oh, well, we didn't know who we were playing until 2 days before. It's like, well, then scout both teams. Scout both teams. And then you get to watch both of them play each other.
Yeah, that
not to mention, you're Purdue.
Yep.
You're a number one seed.
Yeah, man.
That's the most pathetic excuse I've ever heard. I don't know what's worse. People trying to take up for Duke with how physical Tennessee played, or the fact that Purdue fans are saying, oh, we didn't have time to prepare.
Shouldn't have to.
I'm sorry. You're a number one seed. You're the Big Ten champs. You shouldn't have to have more than a day to prepare for Fairleigh Dickinson.
I mean, I'm confused on the whole fact that before Virginia, teams were 0-135, and then they were 1-130.
1-150.
Yeah, 1-150. I don't know why Purdue fans are trying to make the excuse. You're playing a 16 seed either way.
You should just be able to show up to the gym and win.
Yeah.
You
should be able to walk in 5 minutes before, like, this is an AAU game. You have an 8 a.m. game. You show up at 7:55. You just hoop.
Yep.
That means you got a, what is he, 7'3"?
7'4".
7'4", and Zach Edey.
Yeah.
Just give him the ball.
Should be able to dunk it or go to the free throw line every single possession.
Yes.
Every single time. There's no excuse that you should lose that game.
And they let him get 8 up.
And Kentucky fans are talking about wanting Matt Painter on rough rafters last night. It's the same thing as Cal. Nope. I mean, Cal's a national championship, but in the same thing. Great regular season coach, can't do anything in March.
I want to get into this discussion, and we're going to get TJ, the Kentucky fan, in here. Go ahead and get him on, Matthew, because I want to go over this with everybody, and I think TJ can agree with this. What's up, TJ?
What's up, buddy? How you doing, man?
Doing pretty good. TJ, so I want to get into this topic, and I want your opinion as a Kentucky fan. You know, because the one thing that Tennessee fans harp on the most is how much Rick Barnes has underachieved. But how much has Cal underachieved with the talent that he's got and that he's had? You and I have both agreed that Cal should at least have 3 or 4 championships in his time at Kentucky. And instead, he only has one, and it took Anthony Davis to win it.
Yeah, I mean, you're not wrong. The facts are the facts. And, I mean, if you look at – everybody would look at John Calipari different if they beat Wisconsin and they go on. And I know for a fact we would have beaten Duke and gone 40-0 and won a national championship. Everybody would have looked at him differently after losing to St. Peter's or after getting bounced in the second round or even not going to the tournament because he would have had that in his bag, a second national championship and a 40-0 record. The tournament is just different. And I think one thing that not only NIL is changing it, But I think also now the fact that you can go pro overseas. I mean, last year, I think it was the 5th and the 9th overall recruit went pro. Next year, I think the 6th and the 8th overall recruit has already declared to go pro. So you're not getting those Anthony Davises or Michael Kidd-Gilchrist at a school like Kentucky or Duke or North Carolina. They're going to go make a quick $100,000 for 1 year and then jump to the NBA.
Well, and I'm going to bring up another name, too. I mean, since we're talking about people that have underachieved with the talent they've had, Jim Boeheim. If he doesn't have Carmelo Anthony in 2003, he does not have a championship.
Nope.
And he's had some fantastic teams. Fantastic, oh, my God.
The talent that he's had come through there?
CJ Fair, Tyler Cooley.
Who was the Ennis guy that was the point guard?
Tyler Ennis.
Yeah, I mean, he's had talent on top of talent.
Is the only coach that's not underachieved in the history of the NCAA John Wooden at this point? I mean, let's call it like it is.
Yeah.
Well, I think – so here's my take on that. I think you have to look at that differently. And I say that because would Babe Ruth be able to hit a 104-mile-an-hour Aroldis Chapman fastball today? Probably not.
Would Dale Earnhardt – or not Dale Earnhardt, but would Richard Petty have 200 wins – if he actually had to go by this cup schedule and go by these cup rules?
Probably not. So I think, you know, it's funny. If you actually count up, I forgot what they call it because I don't count them. It's like the Helms National Championships before NCAA National Championships.
Basically anything before the 1970s.
Yeah. Kentucky actually beats UCLA in championships if you count them all up. But I don't do that. I don't think you'll ever see a John Wooden. Now, don't get me wrong. He's a great coach. Everything I've read his book, I mean, he's an incredible coach, incredible guy. But I just don't think you will ever see dominance like that again. And I think if you're looking at this as a Kentucky fan, I think next year is Cal's last year. I think he's putting all of his cards in. If you look at next year's recruiting class and 2024, he's not even – signed anybody yet for 2024, but he went all out and got the 2nd, 3rd, 4th, 9th, and 30th ranked guy. And the 30th ranked guy is Mr. Kentucky Basketball, by the way.
McDonald's All-American.
It's son of Jeff Shepard. So I think he's really going all in next year. And if he gets to the Final Four, I think next year he's going to hang it up.
I wouldn't be surprised at all. I would not. I mean, everything has changed in college basketball since he's been in the ranks. I mean, this goes back to when he was at UMass, when he was at Memphis, now Kentucky. And everything has changed in college basketball.
Well, who is the coach that just retired? What from Villanova?
Jay Wright.
Jay Wright.
He don't want to deal with this crap.
Nope.
No.
That's why he retired. He won two titles, or one, or two. I forgot.
He won two. He won 2016 and 2018.
Yeah, so he won 2 and 3 years, and he's like, hey, NIL, transfers, I'm out. See y'all. And he's living his best. He's going to, I tell you, he's going to go down as one of the best coaches because of what he did at a school like Villanova. Imagine if Jay Wright went to Duke or Kentucky or North Carolina or Syracuse or even Tennessee. Imagine what he could have done.
Don't make me throw up because that was almost a possibility. We hired Buzz Peterson over him.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
That's okay. We kicked Tubby out for Billy Gillespie. Oh, which, by the way, real quick, on my way out, Billy Gillespie's 2 years at Kentucky, his winning percentage was 59.7%. The last 3 years for John Calipari, his winning percentage is
58.4%.
Let that sink in. And he has a lifetime contract.
Wow. That's
so just think of how Kentucky fans, Tennessee football, y'all have been through it. Y'all have been through the hells of hell. Think of how Kentucky basketball fans feel that knowing Billy Gillespie has a higher winning percentage in 2 years than Calipari lifetime contract does in the last three.
That he does. TJ, we got to run, buddy. We'll talk again soon. Stay with us. Overtime continues. More Fan Run Radio on the way. Back here on Overtime, Fan Run Radio. Back to the Big Orange Phillies phone lines we go. Daniel is next. What do you say, Daniel?
How you guys doing this evening?
Pretty good, man.
Off the rip, before I get into my Tennessee takes, is can we all just put to bed Purdue could be the most overrated team in the world? In college basketball history, I'm telling you, I think Purdue is probably the most overrated team in college basketball, year in, year out.
They're pretty bad. They're up there, as we saw North Carolina this year. But, I mean, every now and again, North Carolina goes on a run and actually makes a Final Four, makes a championship game. I mean, they did it last year. So, I mean, you've almost got to put Purdue in that category.
I mean, we heard about them all year long. Number one this, number one that.
Zach Edey this.
And they did absolutely nothing. I mean, they're perennial first four seed, and they always, always fail in the tournament. I mean, it's almost textbook.
I'm going to tell you another team, Daniel, that we think of as a good team, and you remember some of those mid-2000s teams with the names of, like, D. Brown, Illinois, a team that you see is like, okay, well, they're usually a pretty good basketball program. But what have they done in March?
Yep, good point. I've always thought that Pitt was a job that, and Jeff Capel's being there, I think is a, and like even Narduzzi and just in general, I think Pitt is one of those jobs that could be a really dangerous spot, and if they got just the right momentum for football and basketball, which they've had success back, you know, way back when the guy from Vanderbilt went there, they had a dangerous team. I've always remembered that student section was rabid there at Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I mean, Pitt's a place kind of like Tennessee. It's like, you know, it just takes somebody going there and proving that you can win, and then everything is all good.
Yep.
That's all it takes. I mean, realistically, you know, another team like that is Georgia. With the talent that's in that area, they have no reason as to why they shouldn't be in the top 25 every single year. There's so much talent in that area.
I've said it before, and I'll say it again. I think Florida, in my opinion, is arguably the best job in the country, and there's no reason why they shouldn't be a top five in football and basketball year in and year out with the amount of talent that they have, being the state school, being in the SEC. There's no excuse other than the fact that they just have poor leadership.
I mean, and the thing is, like, they – turn and burn with football coaches worse than what Tennessee has. And something that we brought up back in the fall is that you could almost argue that Florida has been just as dysfunctional, if not more, than what Tennessee has. The only thing with Florida is the fact that they fall forward. And it seems like this time they might have actually fallen back. You know, it didn't look that way at first. You know, they come out and they have the upset win against Utah, which nobody was expecting, but then they just fell flat. And there's so much drama going on in that program, and there was last year, which what makes that Utah loss even just weird is the fact that Utah had the talent, the coaching, everything. And even through the year, I mean, hell, they made it to the Pac-12. They won the Pac-12 championship, actually. Yeah, so that one still makes no sense to me as to how that happened. And then they just free fall, a downward spiral after that.
Guys, I don't remember a better Tennessee basketball win than Saturday in a long time.
That one's got to rank up there with Gonzaga. That one's got to rank up there with the Ohio State win to get to the Elite Eight. And it's probably got to rank up there with Kansas when we played with 8 scholarship players. That's in that top 5 for me.
What they're doing with a point guard by committee is probably going to be going down as one of Barnes's best coaching, you know, he's doing a pretty good job. And what he did with Euros, going in there and battling with Filipowski and all those guys, I mean, he did a good job Saturday from start to finish. And we can nitpick all we want, and we will, and that's what we do. But at the end of the day, that was one of the best Tennessee basketball games, postseason, preseason, all of the above. It was a fantastic game Saturday.
That it was. I mean, I still can't. Like, I did not think that we would win like that. That is the one thing that I took away from that. I did not think we were going to win like that.
And you know, and this is, we're going to hear a lot about people talking about calling for Barnes's job and calling for their head this week and stuff. And we're in the takes business, and we got people who have bad takes and good takes. And at the end of the day, if a Tennessee fan is looking at themselves, and they're looking at Rick Barnes, and they look at Virginia, I mean, getting to the tournament every year, eventually it's going to happen for you. And I would take, you know, this team has been frustrating. Barnes has been frustrating. But I've said it all year, I would still rather get there, you know, than have the flash in the pan like the South Carolina Final Four run a couple years ago, and then they're a blip on the radar again. So I would always rather be in there, always having the opportunity and getting back there and never being there and even in the discussion. So, you know, I think the bracket has opened up. Maybe we can exercise some demons to get Michigan State in the Elite Eight, but you know what? We birdie putted Saturday. We were even par going in. The rest is just icing on the cake, boys. And I'm looking forward to Thursday night. And I'll talk to y'all later this week. But y'all have a good night and go Vols.
Appreciate the phone call, Daniel. Let's keep it rolling. Jamie is next. What do you say, Jamie?
What up, Jake?
Hey, buddy.
Jake, I mean, it was a big win for the Vols, man. It's ridiculous that you're having to defend your take. Let me just
– best Tennessee team ever. What can I say? I'm just going to enjoy the fact that I got to watch the best Tennessee team ever.
Right. I mean, that's what we do as Tennessee fans is we enjoy wins. If I'm in a room, you know, half filled with my team and half filled with the other team's fans, and we win the game, I cheer with the guys wearing orange, and I kind of maybe – point my finger and say in your face, you may, maybe once or twice to the other guys. But I tell you what I don't do. I don't grab my guys in orange and stick my finger in their face.
No.
I don't understand that, guys.
Well, Jamie, like you got to think about it this way, too. You know, these guys, they say, well, you should support this team. You should support this team. It's like, okay, we're happy about a win. Oh, no, you're not allowed to support this team. You didn't support them all year. It's like, no, I supported them all year. So do you want me to support the team or do you not? Like, make your choice. Find a happy medium.
So maybe our definition of support the team is different than theirs. I support the team, but by damn, I can be critical too.
I mean, that's the thing is we're critical of the team. We don't hate the team. We want the team to win. Right. We've always wanted the team to win.
I think they just, you know, accidentally let it slip. They're a little bit of a sheep. It's support no matter what. And I've sat through it through Pruitt, Butch, Dooley, and every damn one of them has set up has thrown their support behind every one of those losers. But I don't remember putting it in their face when the guys got fired. I just don't understand the backbiting of, you know, of the own fan hate. I don't get it. But you know what? What I say is I can support. I'll do what I want. How about that? If I want to support them, I'll support them. If I don't, I won't.
You know something, Jamie?
Yeah.
If I wouldn't take advice from the person, I don't give a damn about what they have to say.
I hear you, brother. Well, I just hate to see us, you know, here we have a good win, man, in program, and there's no reason for the attack, and there's no reason that you should have to defend it. So, to hell with them, man.
Hey, they still got to talk about me.
Any publicity is good publicity. Hang in there, Jake.
Appreciate the phone call, Jamie.
Yeah, I got called a bad fan probably 10 times. Because I'm critical or, you know, have expectations, God forbid.
Oh, old supercuts.
Yep.
Muscle Bob buff pants. I mean, dude, that's the thing. We just want the team to win. That's all we've wanted. Go out and win. Go out and play the style of basketball that you know how to play. Play free. Play open. That's all we've wanted.
And numerous times, I think, probably within the last 3 weeks, you could go listen to any of the podcasts where you talk about a Tennessee game. It's like, oh, we're miserable now, but watch. We'll make a run. I mean, it's just the inevitable at this point for bad we've been on.
I mean,
here.
We said that behind the scenes for weeks. It's like, watch this. It's like, we're going to play like crap the rest of the year. We're probably going to get bounced early in the SEC tournament, and then we're going to go on a run in March. And that's pretty much what's happened.
Well, and I saw a tweet. It was like, well, let's bring back up those analytics. Like, really? We want to talk about analytics in March Madness.
There's still humans that have to play the game.
Yeah, let's go look at FDU and Purdue. Let's
compare
those
analytics. We're so right on that.
Yeah, let's compare those. Come on. At least be consistent. Which we have been, to say the least.
Well, and I'm not talking about people that bring stats and like the analytics into conversation, but they're respectable about it. You know, we got you know, Jordan Moore, who helped me out last week. You know, he's not going to shove it down your throat, and he's not going to make it his entire personality, and it's either you agree with him or you're wrong.
Yep.
Guess what? Computers put those metrics together, but humans still have to go play the game.
Yeah, I mean, they didn't matter.
And you can bring the analytics into account at this point in the year, I think. It's when they were originally brought into the conversation when we weren't playing anybody where it didn't matter.
And it's easy to be critical of a team when they've lost five of their last seven or whatever it was.
We went 3-7 to finish off the season.
Yeah, I mean, it's easy to be critical of a team when that's the case. So I don't. God forbid we're critical. I mean, come on.
Yeah, I mean, apparently we're bad fans. We don't deserve to cheer for this team and all this other bleepity bleep. But you know what, man? Like I said, if you wouldn't take advice from the person, why give a damn about what they have to say?
That's great advice, to say the least.
The people that I would take advice from, I have conversations with these people on and off air. If I don't have a conversation with you, it's a good chance I don't care about what you have to say. That's going to do it for hour number one. Hour number two of Overtime coming up right here on Fan Run Radio.